For many of us, film can be a mirror. Sometimes we see ourselves as we are, and sometimes when we look at the blockbusters or indie films, we see ourselves through a funhouse mirror. It reflects who we'd like to be or even what we hate. All this month, we're looking at African-American images in film and at the people in front of the camera and behind the scenes. Today, we're going to take a historical overview on how African-Americans have been portrayed. Joining me now, Esther Ibarram. She wrote We Gotta Have It, 20 Years of Seeing Black at the Movies, 1986 to 2006. She also founded and edits SeeingBlack.com. And Thomas Cripps, professor emeritus at Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland. He's written several books on black cinema, including Black Film as Genre. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Welcome.
So, Esther, it's been almost a century since black audiences saw Birth of a Nation, directed by D.W. Griffith. And that film, 1915 film, is about families during the Civil War, arguably celebrating the Ku Klux Klan. I've seen it at different times. Is that really the kickoff of black images in film for you?
I think so. I think it is for most of us who think about film and write about film. It was probably the first film that was so widely distributed and had such an impact. You know, even if there were images before, it had such an impact in terms of how the community responded to it and how they kind of organized against it.
Now, when you think, Professor Cripps, of a movie like this, what did it take to, or when was the first time that we saw somewhat more nuanced, if not positive, images in film, and who did that come from?
Well, I think the first thing we have to think about with The Birth of a Nation is that black people saw it as well as white people and went after it with a zealousness, an uncommon zealousness. The NAACP had been a federation of loosely held together branches. In 1915, it became a nationwide body that, in fact, could take on the NAACP. That, in turn, inspired two black men in L.A. Who founded the Lincoln Motion Picture Company to make their own movies, roughly one a year for 5 years, and in turn, Oscar Michaud in 1919 made his first movie. So, in a sense, black action toward movies began with The Birth of a Nation, as well as what was on the screen that was appealing to a white audience as well.
When you think, Esther, about some of the earlier films that set a standard, films of the 1940s and 50s, what did they do to lay a foundation for later work by African-American filmmakers?
Well, I think, you know, just kind of picking up a little bit before we move to the 40s, in terms of Birth of a Nation, I think that, you know, when you really look at the problematic images in the film in terms of kind of solidifying this myth of the black rapist, the whole way in which, you know, educated or, you know, professional blacks were depicted as, you know, very kind of base savage-like, I think that, you know, it spurred not only the filmmakers to be more active, you know, as Professor Cripps mentioned, but it also spurred the consciousness of the audience to really think about how they're depicted, you know. And I think as you move further, you know, there's more of an emphasis on kind of correcting some of those things so that in later movies you have, you know, black women, you know, in particular, being depicted differently than they are in Birth of a Nation and the relationship between blacks and whites depicted differently.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break, but I want you to stay with us because we're actually going to play a little bit of some key films. And I am with Esther Ibarram, who wrote We Gotta Have It, 20 Years of Seeing Black at the Movies, 1986 to 2006, plus Thomas Cripps, a professor emeritus at Morgan State University, author of several books, including Black Film as Genre. I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. We're back talking, as we will be all month, about blacks in film and on the screen. I'm with Esther Iverum. She wrote We Gotta Have It, 20 Years of Seeing Black at the Movies, 1986 to 2006. She also founded and edits SeeingBlack.com. And Thomas Cripps, professor emeritus at Morgan State University. He's written several books on black cinema. So welcome back. I'm going to jump right into this, and I want to take us to something specific. There are, you know, we talked a little bit about Birth of a Nation, which depicted African Americans from a white perspective, and then how the NAACP pushed back. I want to take us to perhaps a more nuanced image of black life in a film produced by white folks, To Kill a Mockingbird, starring Gregory Peck as the lawyer who defends Tom Robinson, a black man accused of raping a white woman. Actor Brock Peters played Tom in the 1962 film. Here's Tom in court.
Tom Robinson takes the stand.
Tom, were you acquainted with Nayella Violet Ewell?
Yes, sir. I had to pass her place going to and from the field every day.
Is there any other way to go?
No, sir. None I know of.
And did she ever speak to you?
Why, yes, sir. I'd tip my hat when I'd go by. And one day she asked me to come inside the fence and bust up a shiffer rope for her. She gave me the hatchet and I broke it up. And then she said, I reckon I'll have to give you a nickel, won't I? And I said, no, ma'am, there ain't no charge.
Professor Cripps, unpack that a little bit for us. What are we supposed to make of both Tom, the character, and Brock Peters, the actor, in terms of you know, their agency, their ability to exist as a character with some positive qualities and as an actor making decisions about roles?
Well, I admire Brock Peters' work in it and his work in general, but I despair of his getting only that role in the beginning, in the sense that it was a white southerner's novel put into film in a way that made every white person, almost, sympathetic, intelligent, leaning toward the right thinking, whereas Tom gets killed in the end, so that the message contradicts itself.
Esther, do you think that the economics of the time or the social mores of the time pretty much required the black character to die, that there couldn't have been a white audience that would have responded to something that was more advantageous to the black character?
It's really hard for me to kind of think about the film in terms of how white audiences would react to it, you know? I guess I've spent so much of my time addressing a black audience and thinking about how we react to films that I don't, I guess that's where the disconnect comes in, you know?
Well, what about black audiences at the time? Do you think that there was probably a sense of disappointment?
Absolutely. I think of this film as being one of the early films that is, you know, ostensibly about the black experience, but it's not really about it. It's really winds up being about the whites in the film and kind of like in detail about their kind of emotions and their, you know, and kind of portraying them as kind of the heroes and the ones that create the way and create an agency for the black character. You know, we've seen it in films, you know, during our lifetime, certainly, but this is one of the early films that kind of sets up that you know, pattern, you know, in a film to kind of, in the same film has been made over and over and over again.
Professor Cripps, I want to move on in a second to more modern films, but tell me a little bit about how black actors like Harry Belafonte negotiated the system. He actually had a distribution deal. Were some few people able to set up their own space?
Well, Belafonte is a lot like what used to be called race movie makers. They controlled the product from the beginning, raised their own money. It wasn't Harry, it was his firm, Harbell, just as Oscar Michaud founded his firm in 1919. Given that beginning of a film, it's going to be a black film and be one on its merits to black audiences as well as white. Without that, the only way to turn out a black film is during some moment of pressure or crisis, such as when black film came or black sound came to films in 1929. Bessie Smith made a movie in that year, St. Louis Blues, that to this day rings with authenticity and brilliance that she brought to it, she and J.C. Handy, whose music it is. Apart from movies like that, you cannot look at a Hollywood movie and expect to see black.
Now, we're basically doing like a full tilt run through the history of black cinema, and I appreciate you guys running with this. I want to fast forward to films today. We have clips from two recent films, The Great Debaters, directed by and starring Denzel Washington, and First Sunday, starring Ice Cube, Cat Williams, and Tracy Morgan.
Debate is blood sport. You must destroy your opponent, not only verbally, but physically. I am here to help you to find and keep your righteous mind.
We didn't come here to hurt nobody. All we want is the money.
This is not even my church. I saw this on MySpace.
Open up that safe. It's gone. The money we came to steal, somebody stole it.
Who would steal money from a church?
Esther, two different looks at films from African Americans for African Americans. First Sunday did great at the box office. Great Debaters was nominated for Golden Globe Awards, but not for any Oscars. What are these films? One a comedy caper with stereotypes, and the other a film about triumph over adversity, say about what black audiences and filmmakers are able to do at this point.
Well, the first thing it says to me is, you know, I interviewed Spike Lee a few years ago, and he was saying, you know, black audiences needed to grow up. And, you know, I thought it was a pretty good interview, and we kind of debated over a few things. But I really agree with him. I think that, I compare what happened to The Great Debaters and First Sunday with what, oddly enough, happened with Antoine Fisher, Denzel Washington's first directing effort, which opened just before Barbershop, which was another Ice Cube movie. And the same thing happened in terms of the box office appeal, the way the audiences really responded to the movie. And I think that, every now and then, or regularly, I will hear from, readers about how they're really tired of these, movies. They're too ghetto. Why can't we have some serious movies? But then, a movie like The Great Debaters is made, and we don't, take our children by the hand and, take our teenagers, especially the movie-going audience, by the hand and make them go to this movie on Christmas Day. We let them go to see National Treasure, So I think that, Denzel Washington and Oprah hoped that, that we would go as families to see this movie, and that didn't happen, But all the 13, 14, 15-year-olds rushed out to see First Sunday, and I can't blame it all on them. I'm sure there were some, middle-aged people in the audience as well.
Let me get Professor in here. Professor Cripps, can you really dictate that people need to go see positive films, or is that kind of a lost cause?
Well, the short answer is it's a lost cause. If you think of films that made money, if you look back to 1971 and Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, there was not a positive image in it, except in the vague sense that the character Sweetback, as he's running away from the cops and America, says a badass N-word is coming back to collect some dues. So here's a revolutionary, but he's running off to Mexico. Well, what survived was his character in dozens, maybe hundreds, of so-called blaxploitation movies. And black people race to get to them. So it's a matter of those are going to exist, but you have to do The Debaters and other significant films to rival them, so that smart, learned, educated people who want to pass it on to their children will take their children to them, but they're still going to sneak out and see Sweetback.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about blaxploitation later in our series, but I want to thank you for giving us a foundation. Esther, Professor Cripps, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Esther Iverum wrote We Gotta Have It, 20 Years of Seeing Black at the Movies, 1986 to 2006. She also runs seeingblack.com. And Thomas Cripps is a professor emeritus at Morgan State University. He's also the author of several books, including Black Film as Genre.